Today on Maranatha Radio, Pastor Ray Bentley explains the tremendous blessing God gave us in the form of relationships.
There is no gift so precious as a friend. And there is no power greater in heaven or on earth than the power that is released in the bonds of relationship. Relationship is everything. It is not what you know that will get you to heaven. It's who you know.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. The Lord made us social beings. We're made to connect with others, first with God, but also with others. Today, Pastor Ray shows us how to make those relationship connections in a way that brings glory to God and fulfillment to our Christian lives, how to look for friends and how to be a good friend. Let's listen.
2 Timothy chapter 4. We're just going to look at a few verses, and as you can see, we're going to talk about the importance of friends. Now, that may not sound like, you know, how spiritual of a topic is that, friendship? Very spiritual. Very, very close to the heart of God. I don't know if you realize that what it really means to be a Christian and what God's really interested in is a friendship, a relationship. The story of Abraham is really the story of God who looked to and fro throughout the whole earth, and you know what he was looking for? He was looking for just one person that he could have a friendship with. And when Abraham said, "I'll be your friend," then God said, "I will bless anybody who blesses you, my friend, and I will curse anyone who curses you." I mean, God took that friendship extremely personally. And Abraham becomes the father of faith. Even the New Testament describes that it was Abraham's faith that really is the faith that paved the way for the faith in the Messiah and Jesus, and then Jesus himself saying, "I no longer call you servants, but friends." So I want to just share some different ideas and thoughts, and some of what Paul does at the end of this letter is, with all the, you know, spiritual things and Jesus is coming and all the other ministry needs that there were, he starts listing the names of friends. This is his last letter. These are his last words and what was on the mind of the Apostle Paul right before he was martyred and went to heaven, his friends. In many ways, what I would like to share with you this morning is that's really what life is all about. It's about making friendships, having a friendship with God, learning how to have friendships with others. In many ways, that's what's going to make heaven heaven. It's not that we're going to just get up there and do all these spiritual things and activities. We're going to be with our friends forever. First, friends with God, a friendship with the Lord Jesus, our Savior, and then all of these other crazy brothers and sisters that are in our family. We need to understand there is no gift so precious as a friend. And there is no power greater in heaven or on earth than the power that is released in the bonds of relationship. Relationship is everything. It is not what you know that will get you to heaven. It's who you know. And that really is a true axiom of life. It's not just the accumulation of knowledge, facts, and information. It's who you know. Life has a way of teaching us the value of relationships, the importance of those friendships. And if we cannot find intimacy with people, we really can't have intimacy with God. In fact, I would suggest to you, because for a long time the church had this idea that to really be spiritual, we've got to leave, you know, people and go away out into the desert and just kind of be alone with God. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't specified times where God has drawn people away, Abraham, Moses, even Jesus and Paul. for a season, but it's not the norm of life. And certainly it's not where God wants us to live for the rest of our lives. He wants us, in fact, rather than saying to go and hide, Jesus said, go and mingle. You are the salt of the earth. Be salt, I sprinkle you in everywhere. And you are the light of the world. Light is not to be hidden, a light is to be seen. And it is to reveal things. And I want you to reveal me and my love. Again, Jesus said to his disciples, we have been giving a new emphasis on discipleship, and we do want there to be discipleship, and I am thrilled with the many small groups that we have and meeting in homes. But discipleship is not accumulating a certain degree of, merely factual knowledge. But a big part of that discipleship is the relationships that are formed along the way, the bonds, the friendships, the leaning upon one another. God made us in such a unique way, nobody has it all. The world kind of treats people like, oh, there are some that are better than others, some that are stars, and then the regular riffraff that all look to the stars. In God's eyes, no way. In fact, all of humanity are like stars. Not unlike the stars of the heavens. In fact, that's a good way of looking at people. They are the stars and the constellations in your life. And in a way, that's what God, he loves those stars. And there, you would never say, oh, I'd just put a big black circle, take all those stars out. I don't need them or want them. No, they're all there and they're all beautiful. And God looks at his children that way and he loves each and every one of them in a wonderful way. So you cannot find intimacy with God apart from intimacy with other human beings and other people. In fact, I would suggest to you that as close to people as you can get is a mirror of how close you have gotten to God. Some people say, yeah, people, I can't stand them, they drive me crazy, but me and the Lord, we're tight. It doesn't work that way, buckaroo. You have to be close with people. In fact, the Lord reflects himself in a unique way in and through all of us. Paul the Apostle valued both his intimacy with God and the relationships he had. And that's why, again, here in the end of his letter, at the end of his life in prison in Rome, he starts talking about and naming his friends. As I mentioned here in your notes, friendship is the proof of the gospel's pudding. It is the fulfillment of Jesus' prayer that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. When we were little kids and we were learning to walk, our parents were there to catch us when we would fall down. But when we grow older, who is there to catch us when we fall? Our friends. That's what friends are for. Now, years earlier, the Apostle Paul had been in a place called Macedonia. He had become exhausted by life. I guarantee you, whether you're an apostle or not, there will come moments and times and seasons in your life where you're just going to be wiped out. You're going to be exhausted. It usually catches up to you after a string of things that have happened. Stress has a way of weakening our immune system. We get illnesses and we fight things, and then there's external battles. There's pressure at work. There's financial squeezing that takes place. And then you bear up and you fight your best. But then all of a sudden, invariably, every human being comes to the end of your strength. You bottom out, as it were. And it's cyclical. And by God's grace, he doesn't leave us there, but it is amazing that when we do enter those valleys, one of the most beautiful and powerful ways in my life experience that God is, what was it that delivered you out of them? As I looked back over my life, invariably, there was a person who came into my life that God used. Sometimes that I could just pour my heart out to, talk to. Not that they had an answer, they just listened. It's very rare to have people actually listen to you. Have you noticed that? Paul Tournier, Christian guy from Switzerland, said, if you listen to the conversations of the world, they are, for the most part, the conversations of the deaf. Everybody talking, but very few people actually are listening. In fact, many people, you are talking to them, And what they're thinking about as you talk is what they're going to say as soon as you stop talking. They can't wait for you to stop so they can speak. Jesus listened to people. Did you know that one of the ways you can love someone is simply by actually focusing in and listening to them? It is something that we see in the life of Jesus. And by the way, you probably have not been totally listened to as often as you need or you would like. I think that if we could actually have a personal, physical encounter with Jesus Christ and you got to spend a few moments with him, one of the things that having walked away from that experience that you would say is, he actually listened to me. That was the experience of Nicodemus. It was the experience of the woman in Samaria, the woman at the well. And all those who came in contact with Jesus, he listened. And then as he listened, then he spoke. Paul was in a place where he was extremely downcast, he says, or the New American Standard Version says, Paul was, quite frankly, depressed. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6 is in your notes. And if you wouldn't mind, read it. Let's read this scripture out loud together. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. If you have a pen or a pencil, circle the word comforts, and then circle the word downcast, which, as I mentioned, is in another translation, depressed. God comforts the depressed. I wonder if I speak to someone, and surely in a crowd this size, there are a few of you that happen to be at that season in that place where you feel either alone or isolated or frustrated or just empty. Downcast would be a good word. Depressed might be a good fitting word. And that's where you find yourselves. Notice what it says in the end of that verse. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, how did God do it? Comforted us by the coming of Titus. It wasn't things that ministered to and comforted Paul. It was a person. It was a human being. It was a brother in the Lord. And, you know, I was thinking back, and there was one time that I was, you know, I was young, but I was very zealous, and I was getting up really early in the morning and studying, and then I was working during the day, and I would come home and stay late at night, living in the house ministry, and was so discouraged. It's hard to explain. Sometimes you're overtired and you're overworking, and I got into this weird place. And then one day we went out to lunch, a few of us, and God used some other young people, and I didn't even tell them what I was going through. I didn't say a word. Just being with them and their faces, their countenance, they were just being themselves. And all I can tell you is, we didn't talk about anything big or heavy or anything like that, but by the time that meal was finished and we left, whatever that cloud was had broken. It was done. And I said, thank you, Lord. I don't exactly know what just happened, but something with those, my dear sisters and brother in the Lord, you broke something. Thank you for my friends. And that's the value of friends. And Paul went on the very next verse after that to say, my joy is greater than ever since Titus came. So here's the Apostle Paul arrested. He is in Rome, and there are many who have deserted Paul at this particular time. And in this dungeon, he is cold, he is covered in mud, he is depressed once again. So he needs friends. So beginning in verse 9, this is what Paul writes to his young friend, Timothy. He says, be diligent to come to me quickly. Translation, my friend, I need you, and I need you right now. And then he says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. And then he says, Crescens, now these guys were not bad guys, they just were going different places. Crescens is off to Galatia, probably helping some church there. Titus is off to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for the ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, and especially the parchments. Paul starts listing all these names, all these people and all these friends. We find that in the book of Acts and then in the letters that Paul wrote, he listed and named over 100 different people in his life. 100 friends. You remember Priscilla and Aquila, a couple that really blessed him and ministered to him. And probably in each city and every place that he went, Paul had friends. And I think that friendship is, you know, as I mentioned, that's what God was interested in when he found Abraham. Abraham is my friend. And Abraham, because of my friendship with you, anybody blesses you. In other words, anybody becomes your friend, they're my friend. I will bless them. Anyone curses you, I will curse them. If they attack you, God says, I take it personally. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Powerful. That friendship and that bond. And in a way, you know, you've probably heard the expression that, you know, if you have just, you know, one other, two other, three other friends in your life, then consider yourself lucky. Well, that's probably true in a worldly sense. But for a Christian, I think that's settling far too little. In fact, in many ways, I think that the meaning and the whole purpose of life is to go through life and accumulate more and more friends. In fact, I would like to make a bumper sticker. He who ends life with the most friends wins. Because when you get to heaven, again, it's not, you know, performing that we're going to be doing there. We're going to be whatever it is that God has created for our eyes to see and our ears to hear, our hearts to feel, our hands to touch, the experiences that we will have. What makes it heaven is who we share eternity with. So you're going to be in heaven with many, many people. Let's get a good head start. And Paul the Apostle did. He added and accumulated hundreds of friends, and he talked about them, and he wrote them. Usually, you know, when you read through the Bible and you're having your devotion, these names don't mean anything necessarily to us because we don't know them. But at least when you read a name of a person, realize that's a friend. There are lots of friends that are mentioned. The whole story of the life of David, the man after God's own heart, who had to flee from Saul, and he went into the wilderness. And out there in the wilderness, when they started hearing about it, there were those who were depressed and those who were discouraged and those who were despairing, and they found their way to David because they found it too harsh. Saul was too hard, too harsh, too hard-edged. So they said, man, you know, I'm not making it here anyway. I don't fit the government and the system and the way things are going. I'm going to go out there with that guy David who took on Goliath, and he sings to the stars and he worships God with that little harp thing that he has got, and he's a passionate guy. And you know what? David strikes me as the kind of guy that would be a friend to someone who has been rejected like me. Literally, David, it says, surrounded himself with 400 misfits. You might want to call, you know, the Isle of Misfit Toys. All the little misfits gathered around David. Interestingly enough, those 400 misfits who became friends of David, the man after God's own heart, are later described in the Bible as mighty men who did great exploits, powerful, mighty deliverances, miracles, you know, saving the people, shepherding the people. And isn't that, in a way, David was a type of Jesus. Jesus comes from heaven, comes to an earth that is, to me, insane, a crazy place, a broken place. And he says, is there anybody that doesn't fit into this world system? Does anybody feel like they don't belong the way things are? Follow me now out into the wilderness. Come with me. I will accept you. And you want to talk about passion. There is no one more passionate to follow and have a friendship with than your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you are distressed, if you are depressed, if you are in despair, and all the other D words apparently, come to Jesus. And he will befriend you, and he will turn you into a mighty man or a mighty woman of valor. And again, I don't think it's even the great things that were accomplished as much as the experiences and the bonds and the friendships and the relationships that were shared along the way and through that life. That's what it's like, really, to follow and to be with Jesus. Now, the first one that Paul mentions is Timothy, beloved Timothy. He says in verse 9, Timothy, be diligent to come to me quickly. I need you right now. Paul had a father-son love for Timothy, calling him my dear son. He says, I recall your tears. I long to see you so that my joy might be full. The reason that Paul said to come quickly was because, it wasn't like Timothy could get on an airplane like you and I could have done this morning in San Diego, flown all day, and tonight sometime landed in Europe. There's no way. In fact, when Paul said, I need you to come, and you've got to come right away, I need my friend, estimates are it would take Timothy from the moment he got the letter and to go back between 4 and 6 months to visit his friend. That's a commitment. And the other reason that he wants him to come quick is because since it's going to take 4 to 6 months, Paul's worried, I'm already on death row. I might be dead. You might not make it. So when you get the letter, come quickly. Paul was counting on the slow and grinding pace of Roman justice to allow Timothy time to beat the apostle's appointment for death. Timothy, I need you. Please come. His dearly beloved son wanted to spend some time with him. But then the next guy he mentions is in verse 10. And all he says is, for Demas has forsaken me. Now this one hurt deeply. Demas was part of the inner circle in close company with the other greats. He was a spiritual man. He was on the inside with the other apostles, but he left Paul at a very critical time. And therefore, Demas is not one of those favorite names in the Bible. There are some good names in the Bible, right? A lot of people will emulate and name their children, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I've never met a family that said, hi, this is our little son, Judas Iscariot, and his twin brother, Demas. You know, I mean, nobody, those are some names that just don't seem to make it. Demas is one of those names.
Pastor Ray Bentley, giving us perspective on Paul's life and his contact with friends and acquaintances from inside prison. Glad you've joined us today here on Maranatha Radio. Now, to get a permanent copy of today's message, just contact us and mention the title of the study. It's The Importance of Friends, and we can send it to you for just $7. Again, the message is titled, The Importance of Friends. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 2 Timothy on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And we're excited to make available Pastor Ray's latest book, The Holy Land Key. Pastor Ray, how does this resource help us make sense of our world? You know, our culture seems to be spinning out of control. We see examples all around us in the news every day. How will your book help us seek God in the midst of the foggy chaos?
Oh, that's a great question. And one of the things that I learned about prophecy is that it's not only predicting the future. God knows everything. God tells us what's coming. We have signs that we can be looking for, and I think we see many of those signs happening in the world right now. But the other layer is that God reveals patterns. There are things that have already happened in history, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There are patterns that are happening right now on the earth that really, for a believer, point us to look up, for Jesus is coming soon.
All right. Well, we hope you'll dig into these important insights yourself by way of Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. With all that's going on in the world, you can't afford to be unaware of what God has told us about the times in which we live. We'll be glad to send you The Holy Land Key. It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. So write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 2 Timothy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.